Hi, everyone. My name is Josh Nason, and this time for the Sunday, December 15th edition of Wrestling Observer Live, coming to you coast to coast and from the North Pole to the South Pole every single day on WrestlingObserver.com, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, over-the-air affiliates, TuneIn, iHeart, everywhere you get a signal, even on the beach, on the mountain, the snow, wherever you're going to be, making cookies, assembling toys, you can hear this show. Special shout out to those listening on the Armed Forces Network. We thank you for your service every single day. Of course, especially, we think of you during this holiday season. Thank you for your service and get home safe no matter where you are in the world. I'll be with you for the next hour talking about the biggest news of the pro wrestling and a little bit of MMA. The biggest news of the weekend, which includes the successful return of WWE Saturday Night's main event from Uniondale, New York. Felt like it was the 80s all over again, at least for a little bit. Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens. A little skirmish with Triple H after. And a brand new women's United States champion, inaugural champion has been crowned. All types of other things on that show. We'll chat about the results and what happens now. Of course, we had AEW Collision on the other side of the dial, so to speak. Saw the Continental Classic continue. And more Toni Storm. Now, why do I bring up Toni Storm? Interesting weekend for her upon her return. A lot of discussion around Toni Storm and why she's coming back and how she's being brought back. We'll chat about that. Chris Jericho. Yes, Chris Jericho of AEW appeared on a GCW show. That's right, GCW. Of course, a lot of issues between GCW and AEW as of late. So how and why is Chris Jericho appearing on a show? What did he do? What does this mean? We'll talk all about that. And also, a certain face from the MMA world, Chael Sonnen, you might be familiar with him. I think he's been on these airways before. I think he might be looking to backdoor his way into WWE based on his appearance alongside controversial fighter Colby Covington this past weekend. So we'll chat about that. And would that be a good thing or a bad thing for WWE? We'll see what happens. So we'll talk about all that, all types of other news. Stick around with me for this Hour of Power Wrestling Observer Live coming right back. All right, we are back. Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason, filling in for Andrew Zarian. Andrew is taking essentially the rest of the month off, and he's the shoot job, so to speak. Really busy for him. And so I know last week we didn't have a show, so I said, how about I do this? So I was able to fill in for Andrew before, and the plan is for me to fill in the next 3 weeks until he returns on Sunday, January 5th. Of course, there'll be plenty to talk about then, with Wrestle Kingdom, Wrestle Dynasty, and everything in between. So a lot to come, but hopefully Andrew is relaxing where he is. Chatted with him yesterday. Things are good, so he's looking forward to be back, but I'm going to be hanging out with you for the next 3 weeks. I also host Josh Nason's Punch Out on WrestlingObserver.com. I'll talk more about what I'm doing over there in just a little bit, but let's talk about Saturday night, shall we? Saturday night's main event. Now, I am 46 years old. I'll be 47 on January 4th. I'm a Wrestle Kingdom baby, so to speak, even though it wasn't around in 1978 when I first popped out. But Saturday night's main event always held a big, strong place in my heart because when I was younger, if you might remember, if you're older like I am, there wasn't a lot of wrestling on TV, especially if you didn't have cable. And I did not have cable growing up. And I wasn't living in some, you know, weird commune or something like that. Just I lived so far away from, I would say civilization, but we just didn't have cable lines growing up where we lived. So the only thing I got was WWE Superstars of Wrestling, and that was available on Channel 51 out of Portland, Maine, a UHF station. I'm looking forward to trying to explain to my daughter someday, who's very young, what a UHF station is. Imagine that, explaining rabbit ears, tinfoil, trying to get the signal, all that stuff. So that was me. So Superstars of Wrestling, that was my gateway in WWE, then WWF. That was my jam. That was the only thing I could watch. And Saturday night's main event, when I first learned about that, and I was blown away, of course. I was very young when that first started, really kind of getting going, and it came into my purview. And I would tape Saturday. I didn't know when it was on. We didn't have TV Guide at that point, or at least we didn't get it in our house. So every Saturday night, I would tape the NBC and always get a lot of Saturday Night Live, which I also fell in love with as well. Could not wait for Saturday night's main event. So, of course, like many others, I was excited about the return. I actually, in a series for the WrestlingObserver.com website, which got lost when we moved our servers, I actually did a written recap of every single Saturday night's main event. I went through every single one, found some really fun matches, chance to really scratch that nostalgia itch. So I was looking forward to last night. And overall, you know, I think it's a positive. WWE is white hot right now. I guess say red, white, and blue hot, considering Saturday night's main event. We'll stick with that. It was, again, another big win for them, another huge win. And it was full of nostalgia, but not over-the-top nostalgia. And it wasn't like there was stars from the past that were brought in, but they were not over-the-top involved in every single segment, like an old edition of WWE Raw, for example, right? So we had the similar entrance way, and when I say that, it was essentially the metal barricades leading the wrestlers to the ring. Kind of similar to what UFC does now if you're an MMA fan. And you just walk through the crowd, which I thought was pretty cool. The entrance was actually from the Saturday Night's Main Event era of the 90s, which was eventually switched over to Fox and also had some run on NBC as well. But it was kind of that old school thing, the old new stylized WWF logo, of course, without the F in it, and the red, white, and blue ropes and buckles. And slightly updated logo, which is more kind of that late era or a little bit of a change they made when they started branding house shows as Saturday Night's Main Event, which happened, you know, a couple of years ago. Of course, Animotion was back, the legendary theme song. And they use, I don't know if you noticed this, I noticed weird things like this. They use the lyrics of the song as they were talking. So it made it, I always find it difficult when, you know, you're listening to the music bed, and they're singing in the music bed, and then someone's trying to talk on top, and it makes it confusing. AEW has done this a little bit too. That was my only minor complaint. Jesse Ventura was back. He did the intro with Joe Tessitore, who is trying his best to be Gene Okerlund with the tuxedo with the red bow tie. Didn't work. He tried, but there's some people you just can't imitate, and Mean Gene Okerlund is one of them. But he did his best. Jesse, I thought, did okay. He called the main event of the night between Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens, as he called him, which was Kevin Owens. Of course, we had Tito Santana, Rich Herring, a backstage worker, Hall of Famer, Jimmy Hart, Coco Beware, Greg Valentine made appearances throughout the night. Pat McAfee returned. And if you're a Pat McAfee fan, I'm sure on commentary, I'm sure you're thrilled with this. If you're not, I'm sure you weren't thrilled with that. So there you go. So the one thing I didn't understand was also the ring posts they made. They were kind of like this gray type thing, which they used to kind of like cover up the post. I didn't fully get that. If you understand what that was a callback to, hit me up on Twitter or X at Josh Nason, JOSHNASON. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you anyway. On this Sunday, but the results, you know, it was PLE-esque, brisk action is probably the best way of putting it, and a lot of chalk in terms of who won the matches and so on and so forth. Of course, the show started out with the grudge match between Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn. Drew McIntyre picking up the victory there, and that led to the women's world title match, Liv Morgan defending against Io Sky. Liv Morgan picking up the victory, successfully defending the title, and afterward, Rhea Ripley coming out and confronting Liv Morgan, Liv raising the title. And of course, we're going to get these two again, I would assume, at the Royal Rumble, and we'll see that. We'll see. Eventually, Rhea's going to get that title back, and we'll see if Royal Rumble will be that, or if they're going to try to make her wait until, and I don't see this as possible. I mean, you want to do the WrestleMania moment, I understand if you can. That's also another, you know, what, 4 months away, 4+ months. So that's a long time to wait. And this thing's been going for a bit. So might be time to do a title change fairly soon. And of course, you had the World Heavyweight Championship. Gunther defeating Finn Balor and Damian Priest in a three-way. Gunther picking up the victory over Priest, pinning him. So, of course, that sets him up for what we assume will be Goldberg at some point. That could be it could be a Mania match. It could be a Rumble match. We know that Bill Goldberg's coming back for at least one more match. That's the assumption. And, of course, based on their confrontation in the past, I assume that Goldberg will be it. Just a question on when that's going to happen. We have a brand new or a inaugural U.S. champion, Chelsea Green, taking on Meechan. Chelsea Green from Canada is your brand new inaugural Women's United States Championship. Of course, the WWE Women's Intercontinental title is coming soon. Titles upon titles upon titles. Not a fan of it myself. I don't think a lot of, longtime fans are, I would guess. The new school fans don't care. Everything's lit. Everything's all caps. Great. No question. Can't question these type of things, you know? Can't do those type of things. But yeah, it's fine. It's a secondary title out of two new secondary titles. So we'll kind of see where that happens. But, you know, didn't really do too much for that one. And of course, you had Cody Rhodes defending the undisputed World Heavyweight Championship, defeating Kevin Owens. He brought out the Winged Eagle Championship. Of course, the fans in the 80s and 90s will remember the classic Hulk Hogan title where he had this, the eagle. They called it the Winged Eagle. I've never seen a non-winged eagle, so it's kind of funny that they used that to reference it. But yeah, this was teased a few days prior, and we kind of knew what was going to happen, and yeah, it paid off. It was a moment. Some people would love to have that title back full time, but you know, you're trying to sell title belts and you're trying to do all this other merch and things that are on the side that sometimes you don't really get what you want, but we got it for one night. So one night only, as Triple H said, you get the Winged Eagle title back. However, Triple H was also involved in this match, and actually, sorry, not in the match, after the match, and something that was shown off air, because Kevin Owens, not quite done with Cody Rhodes, delivering a package pile driver after the show and laying out Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes stretchered out, and Triple H getting into a physical altercation with Kevin Owens, shoving him afterward. These two were getting into it a little bit more physical than I thought Triple H would get. And I hope based on the issues with his heart in the past, you just hope he's not getting ramped up too much. And I don't think we're going to see a match, but we're obviously going to see more Cody and Kevin Owens with some sort of stipulation. So we'll kind of see where that goes and how violent that stipulation is. Because based on someone being taken out in stretcher, that would certainly lead to think that something's happening there. We're going to talk a little bit more about maybe, you know, perhaps Saturday night's main event and what could be coming up for the next one. We'll talk about the AEW Continental Classic, Tony Storm, Chris Jericho, and maybe even a little TNA. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. Come on back. Back on Wrestling Observer Live for a Sunday, December 15th. My name is Josh Nason, filling in for Andrew Zarian, who is on vacation. Let's continue our talk about Saturday night's main event. Then we'll pivot to AEW Collision. A lot of news there. And yeah, overall, you know, it was a Saturday Night's Main Event was a show. It was a WWE show, obviously. And when I say that, it is a show that didn't it looked great. Fans were into it, which are into everything right now when it comes to WWE. Did it have a big effect in terms of stories? Was a pivotal must-watch show? Yeah. You know, there wasn't a ton of news coming out of it. You know, I think the biggest news coming out of it is the connective tissue to what's going to happen on Monday, right? Because you had, Monday, I guess, and Friday, but I guess more Monday, because after, you know, when Kevin Owens, pile driver, and Cody Rhodes had the Triple H confrontation that was shown off camera or shown on social media, I should say, you know, that was really the big news coming out of it, Jesse Ventura's return and so on. But it really wasn't like a big newsworthy show. No surprise returns, no big heat angles. We had, you know, Chelsea Green being crowned the first ever Women's United States Champion. But in terms of like, you know, notable stuff that usually happens during a pay-per-view, didn't really happen on this one, right? So I thought that was interesting. And if these are what they are, if they're kind of one of these where, you know, they're in canon, but are they must-watch? We're going to tell by the third one, the fourth one, and so on. We'll have, you know, the next one that's coming up next month, a week before the Royal Rumble. And that's always a good test, right? Because you're going to have, your what I assume will be 3 hours of Raw, and I'll be on Netflix. You'll have your 2 hours or perhaps 3 hours eventually on SmackDown, right? So that's 6 hours. Well, let's just say SmackDown's going to 3 hours. 6 hours of Raw, or 6 hours of WWE between Raw and SmackDown. You have, I mean, if you want to throw an NXT in there, if that's a must-watch, that's two, but let's just call it WWE proper. 2 hours of Saturday Night's Main Event, and then you have a, you know, four-hour main card, give or take, for the Royal Rumble, right? That's a lot. It's a lot when AEW does a ton of those shows, too, in a week. And, you know, again, if you're adding NXT, that's another 2 hours. So these are big commitments in a short amount of time. for a lot of WWE product. And creatively, are they going to be able to pull it off? You know, again, I'm not worried about the second one, because the second one, you could feature the Bloodline. And when you may be saying, well, big deal, big whoop, I see the Bloodline all the time. In fact, I see them too much. Well, remember, these shows are not for you and me. These shows are for people that it is hard to believe, like me growing up in the middle of nowhere, that don't have cable. All they have is maybe over the air, so to speak, TV stations. So for that, they may be just like, oh, this is something different to watch, you know? And I find that fascinating, how many people are really going to be converted to WWE fans because of this, or this may be just their one drop in. They're like, oh, this is cool. It happens four times and I get my fix and I'm good. So we'll kind of see how that plays out. And I mean, look, this whole thing is a positive for WWE. They're getting 8 more hours on broadcast TV per year. And with their depth of talent and their roster, they're going to be able to do a lot of interesting things with this and be able to keep this going. Again, you still have CM Punk. His appearance on broadcast TV is in the background as well, in the back pocket. So a lot of things to come. So we'll talk more about Raw and what's coming up for the week in WWE ahead. Of course, I have to talk about what happened on AEW Collision. The AEW Continental Classic continued on AEW Collision. We had two matches. We have some updated Continental Classic results and standings. I don't know about you. I enjoy the Continental Classic. I understand that TV ratings may not be on the upswing when it comes to this, and that they're the promotion, there's a lot of negativity, a lot of malaise, a lot of like hand-wringing and so on if you're on social media a lot, which a lot of people, I've been hearing a lot of, they're really just, it's draining them down. And I'm not going to say who, but there are a couple people I've talked to in the past few weeks who I did not expect to say that, being, yeah, I feel down because of it. And it's interesting where, you know, we can chalk things up to, you know, morons and idiots and grifters and people just trying to engage other people just for, content farming and all the different types of things, right? But then it does tend to weigh down on people because they just want to enjoy stuff and talk about it and have a discourse. And it's impossible to do that on social media and not get into some sort of war. You can't have just a straight opinion because there's always an angle. You're always paid off by somebody or something like that. There's just always some sort of angle there that people really like to dig in on. And the Continental Classic, I'm having a lot of fun with it. We'll go right there, right? So last night we had two matches. Of course, these were taped on Thursday, aired last night. The big one, former Ring of Honor world champion Mark Briscoe, picking up a upset victory over Kyle Fletcher, the Blue League leader, earned 3 points. And of course, now Kyle Fletcher, 9 points in the division in the Blue League. Kazuchika Okada, who defeated the Beast Mortos, picked up another 3 points. Now he has 7. Mark Briscoe is 6. Danny Garcia has 4. Shelton Benjamin has 3, and the Beast Mortos, poor Beast, poor Frank, 0 points in the Blue League. So we'll focus just on the Blue League for a second. So there's a few matches left. We have one announced for this Friday's Rampage, Commander versus Brody King. We have, by my count, what I went through today, we have 5 remaining unscheduled Blue League matches. We have Briscoe versus Mortos, Kyle Fletcher versus Danny Garcia, which sounds great. Kazuchika Okada versus Shelton Benjamin also sounds great. And Shelton Benjamin versus Danny Garcia, which also sounds good. So these, I even think, you know, the Briscoe-Mortos match is going to be fun because, you know, because it just is. So 3 potential great matches and 1 really fun match. I'll take that. I'll take that any day of the week. And the Gold League, of course, we have a big one coming up this Wednesday. Will Ospreay taking on Darby Allin. And we have Shelton Benjamin taking on the Beast Mortos, which I think, you know, I think it potentially could be fun, but not something I'm super looking forward to. But remaining Gold League matches coming up, there is 5 of them that are unscheduled. There wasn't a lot announced for the next week, which I was really surprised about. Will Ospreay versus Ricochet, which I am assuming is going to take place in the Hammerstein Ballroom. They have tapings there coming up this weekend. So I'm 99.9% positive that's going to be part of the Christmas Day taping, and they're going to make that a big thing. Should they have that air on Christmas Day? That is a great question and a very interesting one. I'm sure will be debated nonstop over the next couple weeks. Will Ospreay versus Brody King is still out there. Claudio Castagnoli versus Darby Allin. Seen that a lot. It feels like Castagnoli versus Commander, and then Ricochet versus Darby Allin, which should be fun, a first-time match there. So I'm excited for like 3 out of 5 other main unscheduled matches there. Of course, the Ospreay matches are going to be good, but you know, in terms of interest level, for me, the Blue League is where it's at. Now, you know, we have to start looking ahead too to World's End, which will feature 3 total Continental Classic matches, which include the semifinals, which is the winner, the points leader in the Blue League against the runner-up in the Gold League, and then vice versa. So at this point, you know, we can kind of start getting a picture of who's left. So my guess, I'm going to guess out of the Blue League, it's going to be Fletcher and Okada. How Daniel Garcia gets out of this without looking less than, considering he is the new TNT champion, how that works is I'm fascinated by. I wonder if they really make the Benjamin Garcia match out to be a big deal, and that leads to something, some sort of, you know, another rematch or a best of 5. So that'd be kind of fun. I don't know if I need to see him like 7 times, but you know what I mean? Like some sort of series there. So I think people think that could be a banger. I think it's going to be a banger. So I'm looking forward to that. In the Gold League, Ospreay, I think, is virtually a lock. Anything other than him would be a disappointment. And I guess Ricochet. I mean, Claudio, you could do that. Just feels, it feels like you've been there, done that before. Darby, you could. I don't know what they're doing with Darby. Again, there's this whole thing about potentially he could be the thought process. He could be potentially the guy to unseat the John Moxley for the AEW world title, as far as, you know, Death Riders versus the establishment type angle. If that's the way they're going, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. I think he could come out of the second, but I'm going to stick with Ricochet. I think you just signed him, and you could do a Fletcher Ricochet versus Ospreay Okada, and then your finals of Ospreay versus Fletcher, the rivalry there. Or you could get really weird and do Okada versus Ricochet. I'm going to guess this ends with Fletcher and Ospreay at the end, and we'll see kind of what happens there. It feels like Fletcher should win the title, but we'll see. But yeah, fascinating. You know, going kind of conversely with Saturday Night's Main Event, it's interesting how, if you're a WWE fan, I'm sure you love that, and some people just don't like this, you know, the AEW style, or they just don't like the tournament. I find that so hard to take in, because I enjoy watching Continental Classic a lot more. AEW has its issues, which we'll talk about more in a minute. But overall, I loved last year's Continental Classic. I love this year's and have been thoroughly satisfied, and a lot more to come. And yeah, we're coming down. There's going to be a lot of action, 13 matches coming up in the next, like, you know, 2 weeks before we get to the end. So a lot more to look forward to there. Of course, we have, what else? Of course, Toni Storm made her, well, I would say her return. And that was, she made a return last Wednesday on Dynamite. And I'm going to talk about that more in the next segment. This has got a lot of people talking, and not talking in a great way. It's, I don't know. Can't we just agree on anything these days? Can we just not agree on things or just say, well, it's fine. You know, you think this way, I think this way. It doesn't happen in wrestling, does it? Your side is the right side and the other person's side is completely wrong. There's no other wiggle room, nothing in between. That feels like what's happening with some of this Toni Storm conversation. We'll talk about Julia Hart, who's returned. A couple new matches made for World's End. We have a tag team title match coming up, and all kinds of other stuff as well. Some more AEW to talk about. Chris Jericho, of course. We're going to talk about him appearing at GCW. What does that mean? This next block's going to be packed. Come back with us. Wrestling Observer Live returning in just a few seconds. Welcome back. Wrestling Observer Live for Sunday, December 15th. My name is Josh Nason, filling in for Andrew Zarian. You've been sticking with us the whole show. We've talked about Saturday night's main event. We have talked about AEW Collision, the Continental Classic. We're going to talk more AEW in this segment. Some Chris Jericho, some GCW. Maybe a little TNA if we get crazy. I want to talk about Chael Sonnen for a few minutes as well. Of course, if you're listening to this, if you're not a Wrestling Observer subscriber, and you can check us out a bunch of different ways. You can listen to this show every day on Spotify or Apple Podcasts with a subscription for either service, $9.99 a month. Great deal to get all the different audio, including Wrestling Observer Radio, Wrestling Observer Live, my podcast, Josh Nason's podcast, Punch Out, Josh Nason's podcast. It is my podcast. And you can, what I'm doing right now is no one else does this in the business. And I'm going to say it's zero. People do year interview series. People do different types of looks back at the year. They don't do it like I do, friends. I go through every single month and I go through 600 plus headlines a month from our website and boil it down to the best and the brightest and some of the biggest stuff. A lot of stuff you forgot about through the month. And I do a 12-part series, different guests, and we talk about the month. And some are 2 hours, some are 2.5 hours, some are 1 hour, but they're all entertaining. So you can check those out at WrestlingObserver.com. Of course, Brian and Vinny, all kinds of other great shows on our network and a variety of different things depending on what you like and a little bit what you don't like. WrestlingObserver.com, of course, for a full website subscription, which includes the Wrestling Observer newsletter and so on and so forth. So check us out. If you have any questions, if you're like, I don't know what to do, just hit me up at Josh Nason. I get no commission, you know, no Christmas bonus or anything like that. But I got to tell you how to check this stuff out. Let's get to some more AEW stuff, right? Because conversely from Saturday night's main event, there was a lot of news coming out of the Continental Classic. So Julia Hart is back. She interfered as expected in the International Women's Cup match for Wrestle Dynasty in the match between Willow Nightingale and Jamie Hayter. So Julia Hart and Jamie Hayter looks to be a go, I'd say, rather soon, for World's End, I would reckon. So Willow Nightingale is moving on to Wrestle Dynasty on January 5th. Dave Meltzer is saying it's an AEW show. I don't see it that way, and I know others don't see it that way as well. It's a New Japan show. It's in the Tokyo Dome, and I disagree with Dave on that one. So, but Willow Nightingale is moving on to that four-way, which includes a wrestler from CMLL, who I'm blanking on at the moment, Athena from Ring of Honor, and a to-be-determined Stardom wrestler in a four-way for the first ever International Women's Cup. And yeah, Andretti and Leo Rush earned a future tag team title match on Collision, defeating poor Top Flight, who just can't get any momentum going in that company. It's just been stuck in the same position for forever. And Andretti and Leo Rush have decided to move on from them. And now they have a tag team title match coming up and against Private Party, which I also would assume will be at World's End. And two title matches also were announced at World's End. So we got some movement for this year pay-per-view. We have the AEW. Let's start with the International Championship. Kenosuke Takeshita defending the international title against Powerhouse Hobbs. I'm fine with this. Hobbs, you know, this is one of those cases where there's too many people on the roster, and there just is. Because Hobbs came back. I was actually in the house for AEW Dynamite in Manchester last month. Boy, time flies. So I was there last month and checked that out and saw him, and that was fun. And then he's been on TV a little bit, but you know, they kind of were trying to build this up to backstage promos and didn't really give it a ton of time. So we'll kind of see what they do in the next couple of weeks to really kind of drive this home and potentially that Hobbs could be a serious threat. Should be an entertaining match, and glad to see Hobbs getting the opportunity. But I think with a little bit more time, might be a little bit more anticipated, put it that way. And then you have a Tijuana street fight for the AEW Women's World Title, Mariah May defending against Thunder Rosa. So why not Toni Storm? Well, Toni Storm lost the title to Mariah May last August, and at All In, then disappeared from AEW TV, appeared in CMLL, Stardom, couldn't get any wins, talked about retiring, something that I don't even think Tony Khan's expecting, because Tony Khan had a media call that had to basically quickly say, essentially to paraphrase, that she's not retiring. I think she spoke too soon or something like that. And you could tell, I think he was a little taken aback by that, which is saying something. This whole Toni Storm thing, though, so she comes back on Wednesday. And she, of course, at the very end of the show, after Mariah May defeats Mina Shirakawa, and just, you know, she's back in this old character. So people are like, oh, that's interesting. She's not the time's Toni Storm character. And she just kind of stood there on the stage and took in the applause, took in the crowd. And I call me old school, call me crazy. I like when this is a blood rival of hers, someone, a friend of hers that turned on her. Remember the Owen Hart Foundation tournament? She took her title and said she sent her packing out of the company for a quarter of a year. And you come back and you just kind of stand there. And I thought it was just so odd. Like, wouldn't the normal thing be that she starts just beating up Shirakawa, who's been involved in this three-way angle between them, or is about to threaten nailing with a champagne bottle, and then Tony Storm's music hits, she comes out, runs May off, she looks like she's seen a ghost, and that's, you kind of have a little bit of you know, emotion behind it. Isn't that kind of what we're, like, should be doing? No, she just stood there. And then after the show on social, which AEW does a lot of promoting matches on social versus on TV. I understand a lot of people are on social media, but get the guaranteed viewer that you have there, the 600,000, whatever it is, 700,000 versus what could see on social, right? Announced that her return match is going to be for Rampage. And this has caused a lot of consternation. A lot of people saying, you know, how she's gone about doing it, essentially that she's trying to kind of rebuild herself from scratch. And this kind of this brand new character that almost she's disassociating herself. You know, I'm not really doing a great job explaining it. And you may be scratching your head at this and being like, what? Exactly, right? So, I mean, I appreciate wrestlers trying new things, but I don't know if this is it or the way to do it. And then she came back on Collision and is essentially like, basically is all about Rosa getting the opportunity and so on. It's a real kind of just maybe overly creative way to go about this. It could work, but I do know the way that they brought Tony Storm back this past weekend was not my favorite. I starting on Wednesday, it wasn't. And I think sometimes you get a little bit too convoluted, a little bit too creative, and sometimes it's best just to do what the easy thing is. And what's the thing that's going to make the most sense? What are we building toward? And what's going to build emotion? And person want to see fighter A versus fighter B, and we're going to pay to see it no matter what. And I thought Thunder Rosa's inclusion in that at the end of Dynamite was so clunky with the WTF sign and just didn't work. Didn't work for me. I thought it was hokey and not in a good way. So not a big fan of it. I know there's a lot of people who are browbeating others about how this whole angle's going. Not a fan. Some I was a fan of was Chris Jericho appearing in GCW. This raised my eyebrows as I got home after attending a wrestling show on Saturday night, Limitless Wrestling, out of working out of Yarmouth, Maine. Got to see Calvin Tankman in action for the first time. He's legit, man. He's legit. The whole roster is fun. I digress. I came home, was kind of catching up on some Saturday night's main event, watching even more wrestling. And then also this news came across social media, and it was Chris Jericho, a holy bleep moment, appearing on GCW. So why is this interesting? Well, you probably know, you've probably been following along, that Chris Jericho, AEW and GCW rather, have a little bit of a skirmish, because Ricky Starks, who was under AEW contract, set to appear for GCW. And Effie, a very popular wrestler who works for GCW, made some comments on his podcast about Tony Khan and his dad. Essentially, I think basically indirectly saying that, that he's using dad's money, or his dad's trying to push him off or something like that, and just kind of be like, here, use this money and get away from me type of thing. I'm paraphrasing, but you kind of know the story at this point. Well, AEW didn't really get happy about that and not like officially publicly pulled him, but pulled him to the point, pulled Ricky Starks off those shows, essentially saying, well, your guy's going to say this, then you don't get to have this, right? So that was interesting. And then Willie Mack was not, the way the story came out was it was heavily hinted to him by talent management at AEW that it was be in his best interest to not work any more GCW shows, at least for the time being. So clearly there was something, some sort of conflict going on there. So then fast forward to Saturday night. This all happened like over the last, you know, 2-3 weeks. And there's this whole controversy over the Hammerstein Ballroom, AEW running three shows there after GCW announced a show there for January, which is going to be one of their biggest shows of the year, they hope, and some conflict there. And Brett Lauderdale, the owner and the head honcho at GCW, essentially saying, you know, not to, kind of like an unwritten rule about not doing that and letting it breathe. You know, you could have run any other time, but you decided to run this after we run after. So there's definitely some conflict in interest there. So again, fast forward to Saturday night. Chris Jericho appearing during the Matt Cardona and Effie match. Ricky Starks was supposed to be taking on Matt Cardona, replaced by Effie, so kind of tying in there. And in a shroud, Chris Jericho appears, lays out both guys with bat shots, and leaves, and he takes a sweatshirt off, big AEW shirt going on underneath, and fans start booing. They hate this man, as you might expect. GCW fans are very loyal. So you might be asking yourself, as I do, where's this going? What angle are they running? Is everything good now? I'm fascinated by this, because does this mean when it comes to Ring of Honor Final Battle, which is coming up this Friday from the Hammerstein Ballroom, live on the Honor Club streaming service, you have Chris Jericho taking on Matt Cardona for Jericho's ROH World title. Does that mean, basically, are things good behind the scenes? Are we going to see some sort of a little bit of a crossover there? Is Tony Khan extending an olive branch saying, look, sorry we had to pull these guys. Sorry about the Hammerstein Ball. I'm sorry you feel this way. I'm a good guy. I love the wrestling business. I want everyone to succeed. So I'm going to help you out a little bit. Let's make this right. What can we do to make this right? Can we get Chris Jericho involved? Perhaps, it's my speculation, is that Effie is going to appear this Friday and perhaps cost Jericho the ROH World title, or at least get involved in some form or fashion. And then at the GCW event coming up in January at the Hammerstein Ballroom, the name of which I'm blanking on right now, I think you're going to get Chris Jericho versus Effie. And I think that's going to be the make good. Now, does this make Ricky Starks feel good? I don't know. Is he going to be allowed to work there? I don't know. I guess we're going to find out. Is Willie Mack going to be allowed back? Perhaps. But I think this is a fascinating time between these two groups. And maybe being involved with GCW, does that give AEW a little bit more street cred like they used to have? Look, WWE is working with everyone now, nearly everyone. So I've been going through this year in review series. I mean, you look back at like Noah, TNA, and Stardom. They're looking to maybe work with some companies out of Mexico, Puerto Rico. They're doing some things, getting their guys out in the indie, or signing indie stars rather, WWE ID programs. Their tentacles are going everywhere. So maybe AEW's like, look, you're not going to get GCW. WWE is also kind of working with Bloodsport in a way, which is owned by GCW, the rights, so to speak, because they're sending their talent there to work. Some of these younger guys. Maybe Tony Khan's like, look, enough is enough. Let's get involved. Let's make it right. And let's help everyone out. So it'd be very fascinating to see what happens over the next couple weeks. And yeah, Chris Jericho back in the mix. And obviously he's hated by a good amount of the wrestling fan base as it is, the hardcore, so to speak. So this may play out pretty well. And again, there was a reason he showed that AEW t-shirt on Saturday to those fans in Los Angeles, and they booed. So what you don't want is you don't want AEW to become a heel promotion. But that was kind of the way it felt. So we'll see how that plays out. So yeah, we've talked about a lot on this episode. Of course, we have a lot more to come. We have my thoughts on Chael Sonnen, my brief thoughts on Chael Sonnen. And of course, we have some New Japan coming up tonight. So a little bit more to talk about here. Hope you stick around. Wrestling Observer Live coming right back in just a few seconds. So hang out with me for a few more minutes. All right, final segment of the show. I got a lot to get to. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live. Thank you. I'll be here essentially for the next couple of weeks until Andrew Zeri returns. Talk about all the news and all the holiday stuff as well. You know, hey, wrestling doesn't stop for the holidays. So why should we, right? We're going to keep going on this here show. So Chael Sonnen. So Chael Sonnen, of course, you know him, very loquacious fighter, former fighter for the UFC, retired, Anderson Silva fights and so on and so forth, is backing Colby Covington, also a loquacious fighter, not to the eloquent nature of Chael Sonnen or perhaps a Conor McGregor, but you know him as a big Donald Trump supporter, not anything wrong with that, but to the point it really was an antagonistic character, if I can say that right, in the UFC. And rose to some stardom, got some title fights, but couldn't get over the top, and is kind of on the downside of his career. He has now brought in Chael Sonnen as essentially his manager, and Chael appeared at the weigh-ins on Friday, and is kind of a mouthpiece for him, and was in his corner last night, Saturday, coming and lost a fight in the main event against Joaquin Buckley. And I think Chael may see this as an opportunity to get into WWE. Of course, TKO owns UFC and WWE. WWE is leaning way more into mainstream non-wrestling talent in terms of Joe Tessitore, Pat McAfee, and so on and so forth. So Uncle Chael, I can see him saying, well, how do I get into this? I mean, he used to train at the WCW Power Plant. He loves the sport of wrestling. He's been involved in it just tangentially involved in it, I guess you could say. I could see Chael Sonnen saying, how do I get into WWE? And I think this might be the way to do it. So slow playing a little bit. And look, I don't blame him. You know, the money's green. The money is green in WWE. And if you can get there, if you get some sort of spot in TV, even if it's not a regular thing, just get in the system. Get in there. Could make some money. And I think Covington might be thinking the same thing, but he doesn't have what Chael does. So, great episode. We talked about Saturday Night's Main Event. We talked about AEW Collision, the Continental Classic, Tony Storm, Chris Jericho, and all types of other things. A huge week ahead. I don't have time to go over everything, but check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. All great shows this week. All the great news this week. The newsletter, social media, all that stuff. Thank you so much. This has been Josh Nason, and this has been Wrestling Observer Live.